All right. Faith works by love. What? Not very much. Only a little bit. Faith works by love. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. You know, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, and everything that we operate by is by faith. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Faith which works by love. And that word for love there is actually agape. And that's a word that really a lot of people just do not understand. You know, they have agape love feasts, you know. And here's the thing. Agape is a covenant love. It's not the common everyday love that people might think. The closest thing that people have to understanding this is the love of a mother and a child. I mean, them babies, especially them babies, them mothers will go to the ends of the earth to take care of that baby. That's agape love. That's a no matter what love. You know, that's the kind of love that we need to understand that God has for us. See, a lot of people just don't understand that. But the best way you can see the love of God for you is look at the love of God that a mother has for her child. Have you ever seen a really good mom when they were teaching their baby how to walk? Have you ever seen them ever once say, okay, Junior, this is the second time I've showed you. Now you got to get it right this time. If you don't, we're going to have a war. Have you ever seen a mom do that? Have you ever seen a mom when they were potty training their kid say, look, kid, this is the third time I've set you on this toilet. Get it right or you're gone. Never once, have you? Well, people act like that with God. They act like if they don't get it right this time, God's going to be eternally angry with them. You know, I had a lady. She was frustrated and upset, and I said, what's wrong with you? And she said, I think God's got to be upset with me because I'm not getting this faith walk right. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I make mistakes, and I know I should be farther along, and I should be this, and I should be that. And I said, well, wait a minute. You've been doing this for a whole year, and you don't have it down right? She was really upset. I said, so you've been doing this for a whole year and you don't have it figured out yet? No. I said, you know, there's people been doing this for 30 years and they don't have it figured out? I said, you know, when we look at stuff in the natural, how long did it take us to learn algebra? You didn't get that in first grade, did you? We always have to learn a little bit at a time, and everybody's going to keep on learning. What really made me feel a lot better about things was Kenneth Hagin said, you know, he had preached on Mark chapter 11, verses 22, 23, and 24 for 40 years at that time. And he said he had not gotten to the bottom of those three scriptures. I thought, well, if Kenneth Hagin hasn't gotten to the bottom of those three scriptures, then there hasn't anybody gotten to the bottom of the Bible. So we're just going to keep on learning. That made me feel good. Now go over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Faith that works by love is going to happen because you're rooted and grounded in love. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love. So how are we going to be rooted and grounded in love? It's going to be by everything else. We're going to have a revelation of it. That means you're going to have to look at it and study how much God loves you. See, that's the proper take on this. A lot of times it gets preached on you having to love God more. And that just won't work. If it ever points to your efforts, you're trying harder, you're already fighting a losing battle. But if you focus on how much God loves you, loving him is going to come a whole lot easier. You know, that's the only way it can happen. It tells us that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That didn't happen until you got born again. So he loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. So don't go and get born again and then think you're going to reverse the order and show God how much you love him. You got it backwards. Keep on letting him love you and keep on finding out how much he does love you. And that's going to make everything else happen a whole lot easier. Now, man has had an abundance of spiritual death. Did you know that? You know, before we get born again, we're spiritually dead. And we operated in that kingdom of death where, you know, things just weren't right. And spiritually, we're dead. People just don't understand that. But I've seen people that had a dead countenance to them. And I've seen them get born again. And they show back a few days later and they glow. That's interesting to me. Their complexion is different. They've changed. But man has had an abundance of spiritual death. Death was his master. War and crime are the very nature of Satan. That's just something that comes along with that spiritual death. people are actually mastered by that. It tells us that the fear of death will be put down by Jesus. And once you get born again, now guess what happens? It tells us, oh death, where is your sting? I mean, you no longer have to fear death. You already done all the dying you're going to do. And guess what? When you get born again, here's the neat thing. And this is what's important for everybody to understand, whether you're born again or not. When your body, when you leave your body, you change addresses. And if you're born again, when you leave your body, your address is heaven. If you're not born again and you leave your body, your address is hell. There's no change in either one of them. See, there was a thing, you know, we used to run around and say, get born again and live forever with Jesus. Well, that kind of leaves the idea that, well, if you don't get born again, you just kind of go into non-existence. And that's not true. You're going to live forever. Whether you're born again or not, your spirit is going to live forever. That's why it's so important to get born again. Make a decision for Christ, before you leave your body. Because once you do that, there's no more chances. There is combat between life and death, between God's nature and Satan's nature. Just as Satan's nature swallowed up mankind, God is giving eternal life in such abundance that it will swallow up death. See, we're going to be like our master. Have you ever noticed? You know, there's some people that are just evil. They don't have any choice but to be that way because their master is Satan. And when the pressure's on, the evil is going to come out. But then there are some people who are born again that have actually made that decision for Christ and actually got into this one-on-one fellowship with Him. And when the pressure's on, He's going to come out. They'll look to Him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 4 says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life." Now, that's talking about while we're in this body, we will groan. But we know that our true home is with Jesus. You know, Abraham even called himself a sojourner. You know, that's what we really are. We're sojourners. We're in this world. We're not of this world. You really shouldn't feel actually like you really belong here. If you really feel like you belong here, you miss something. Because you belong in the presence of God. You belong with Jesus. That was our natural habitat. When Adam sinned, he got kicked out of the garden, and ever since then, man had to make their own clothes. Have you ever thought about that? People are the only creatures on the face of this earth that have to make their own clothes. Every other creature on the face of this earth grows its own clothes. But since we're not in our natural environment, we have to make our own clothes. But being rooted and grounded in love, we must become love of God minded. And the only reason the only way we can become love of God minded is to focus on how much God loves us. The Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Go back over there. See, this is a good, actually it's a prayer, but it's a really, really good thing to read through once in a while, because it talks about our position in Christ. Verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now, why does this power not prevail more? What is this power in us? The power in us is that Holy Ghost that raised Jesus back to life. That's the very same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus up. That's the power that's in us. You know, there's a lot of people that wait around for some special evangelist or some special prophet to show up from some far-off city. So they go have them pray for them. Like, their anointing is the anointing that's going to get the job done. You know, you have the same Holy Ghost that they have. You don't need somebody else's anointing. You've got it. Right on the inside of you. Let it come upon you. And that's the way you're going to find that is in here. You're going to focus on the love of God. You know, the love of God will protect you from all evils. I wonder what it would be like to have such a revelation of the love of God like John had. John had a big revelation of the love of God. And he's the only, and in fact, he ran around, he called himself the apostle whom God loved, whom Jesus loved. And he's the only apostle that didn't die a martyr's death. They couldn't hurt him. They tried to boil him in oil. That didn't work. So they sent him to the Isle of Patmos. And he wrote another book. They just couldn't hurt him. And finally they let him come back. And he was so old they had to carry him around to meetings. And he just kept preaching and preaching. One thing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, God cannot backwards of malice. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Whew. This is why Jesus said to forgive. When we hold on to bitter resentments, it doesn't hurt the other person. It doesn't hurt the other person one bit. You can lay there and hate them as much as you want for the rest of your life, and it doesn't hurt them one bit. But it does hurt you, because you're holding them resentments in, that unforgiveness in, and it eats away at your health. It eats away at your sanity. It eats away at your peace. It eats away at your faith. And it eats away at your love. It eats away at every part of you. It robs you of everything you have, holding on to those bitter resentments. You know, a lot of those guys, they may be total jerks. And they just don't realize, some of them just don't realize they've done anything at all to you. And they don't know that they're living rent-free in your head. But it tears you up. And sometimes people may have really, really done some real harm to you. Maybe physical harm, maybe financial harm. Maybe they've done something really, really terrible. One time I asked Jesus, I said, how can I forgive this guy? And he said, with my love. Well, that was easier. I could forgive him with his forgiveness. I could forgive him with his love. And that made it better. That got the burning resentment out of my heart. You know, maybe we don't have it in us, but we can use his love and his forgiveness to forgive somebody. Amen. Being filled with the fullness of God, when we walk as Jesus walked and talk as Jesus talked, that's going to be a result of focusing on his love, being filled with his fullness. You know, this is one thing that we need to ask ourselves. You know, these corny little bracelets that they came out with, those ones that said, what would Jesus do? See, they need to just burn those. They need to take those and throw them in the trash and burn them. Because if you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? That opens it up to whole bunch of different thoughts and theories and doctrines and, you know, whatever somebody might come up with. If they'd write on those bracelets, what did Jesus do? That forces you to go to the Bible and look and see, what did Jesus do? That would be the correct answer. What did Jesus do? Then we'll have to go back and look. Look at John chapter 14, verse 12. You know, when I first got to studying the Bible, I kind of had the idea that if Peter could do it, or John could do it, or Paul could do it, then I should be able to do it. And I'd ask somebody, and they said, oh, no, no. They're apostles, or they had a special anointing, or this or that. And I thought, well, okay. And But I didn't accept that in my heart. I thought, because I read that where God said, God is no respecter of persons. So, if he decided that one of these apostles could do it, but not me or somebody else, then he'd be a respecter of persons, wouldn't he? Finally, one day I ran across this verse, John chapter 14, verse 12, and it was Jesus' own words. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That right there. That will be a true reality. And through the Holy Spirit, we will do greater works. When you focus on Him, on the new creation realities, you'll find out that Jesus will do through you the same things that He did through Paul and Peter. Jesus Himself said you would do the same things He did. That cleared all the mess up. That cleared all the clutter up out of my head. Now nobody can tell me that this guy can do something because he's got a special anointing that I don't have access. That dog won't hunt no more. I know because Jesus said I can do what He would do. Abraham became persuaded, fully persuaded, that God would do what He said He would do because he meditated on His word. When we meditate on His word, we find out what Jesus did. We look at that and we meditate on it and look at it. Guess what happens? We become fully persuaded. We want that reality in our life. We know that it's not us doing it. It's Jesus and Holy Spirit. They're doing it. All we got to do, we got a simple task. Jesus said, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. All we got to do is do the praying. Do the asking. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And then we let Him do the doing. That's fun. That's when it gets really fun. Now it's not about our efforts. It's not about our ability. It's not about anything about us. It's all about Him. There's a lot of pitfalls in the Word of Faith that people fall into, trying with a pure heart and trying with all they can to do more for God, but they'll take some good principles, some good keys, and they'll take them out of place. You know, they'll say, well, somebody will need prayer for something. They'll say, okay, I'm going to go fast about this for 2 weeks and read my Bible. Well, fasting and reading your Bible are good things. But if you're doing that to meet the challenge at hand, you've already blown it. You've already put yourself in the arena of doubt and unbelief. Not trying to. You were trying to do the right thing. But you've already taken yourself out of the fight. Because now what you've done is said, if I do this and I do that, then I can do this and see the results. No. Jesus is the one that does it. Jesus is the faith healer. Jesus is the miracle worker. Jesus is the one. Now, fasting is a good thing. Reading your Bible is a great thing. All these things are good things. Just don't get the wrong key in the wrong ignition. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask, that's what He would do. So we need to put all the pressure on Him. He's the only one that can handle it. He's the only one that's qualified for it. If we keep it simple, big things will happen. But we've got to keep it simple. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for everything Jesus has already done for us. And Father, we thank you that as we go into this exciting new year, that you're going to be here with us. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And that he would be with us to the ends of the earth. And Father, we're going to go into this year with excitement. With excitement and expectation. And we look forward to seeing you be victorious in us and see your kingdom come on this earth and your will be done. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.